Shall we turn now in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6? We're looking at the first three verses. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the fourth. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Let's begin. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. May our God bless his words to our hearts. Living as a child in modern times, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, many years ago, I asked a child in the building right beside us here, "What is that telephone number you have there?" And the child's response was, "Well, that's the number I must call if my mother spanks me, so they will come and get me." And it's worse than that today. Children are being trained not just to spy on their parents and rat them out, but they're being trained in perversions in school. And they're even brainwashed into thinking God did not make the world, that the world came by evolution. Now, if we teach children that we are in this world by chance, and that God did not make the world, then we're teaching them that there is no biblical morality. And if there's no biblical morality, then there's no societal morality, no standards. Morality then will change all the time. And if there's no societal morality, there can be these changing goalposts. If they don't like something, they can change. There's no need for a savior. What was accepted 50 years ago might not be accepted now. What was not accepted 50 years ago, those things are accepted now. So when you can change the standard, you can just declare man is good. And that's what most people believe, because they redefine morality as they wish. And then they can say, "Well, I'm good." You ask most people, they will say they are good. And that is how they then live, with that deception of thinking that they're good. Well, how does the Bible say a child ought to live in modern times? Well, let God speak. And it's a simple outline today. Our headings are a present reminder, obey your parent, a past ground, this was the law, and then third, future blessings, it will be well with you. Just remember it that way, present, past, and future. Goals are that children will honor their parents and help them fulfill the role of multiplying, filling the earth, and having dominion in Jesus' name. First, let's talk about the present reminder, obey your parents. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Christian children must obey their parents. Now, it's true all children should obey their parents, but the focus here is on the obedience of Christian children. And it doesn't matter if the parents are Christians or not Christians. Christian children are bound to obey. Just like when we talked about wives submitting to their husbands. If the husbands are not, they're not believers, you're still bound to obey them, unless, of course, they tell you to do something contrary to the Word of God. 2, Christian children must obey their parents as long as they stay within the bounds of what God says. We touched on that already. And that's what the phrase, in the Lord, means. You're not to go beyond that. If they tell you to steal, you say no. 3, Christian children must obey their parents with proper actions. Proper actions, outwardly and inwardly. So the Christian children's obedience to their parents must start in their hearts. You probably heard the story of the child who was told by his father to sit down at the dinner table, and he refused. And then the father threatened to spank him, and then he sat down. He said, "Why did you do it now? How come you suddenly decide to sit down?" He said, "Well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Well, that's the problem. Your obedience must be from the inside, not just the outside. It is hypocrisy to pretend to obey. And children can be hypocrites too when they pretend to obey. True obedience starts in the heart. If a child can't obey his parents who love him the most in this world, he will never obey those who are outside who love him less, like a teacher or elders or a boss or the police. And that's why you see such contempt. You hear so many videos now because of the police having their body camera, where they go up to kids and they tell them, "Put the gun down. Put the knife down." And they just refuse. Many of them had to be injured or killed because of that. The problem is back home. The problem was back home. For Christian children must obey their parents because this is the right thing to do. Why is it the right thing to do? Remember, parents protect you. They provide for you. They guide you. They guide you in the way you ought to go. Parents do all their children need when they're sick. This is the time of year and you probably will have to deal with this. When you're sick as a child, your parents take care of you. Take you to the doctor. You throw up, they have to clean up the mess. They have to give you medicines and feed you soup. They do all the things that are necessary. They wipe away your snotty nose. They cook for you. They feed you. But most of all, parents teach you. They teach you about Christ. They teach you about worship, and they bring you to worship. All the more reason you should obey your parents. You know, one man said, all ships leaving a local port must get a local guide to take them to the open waters. And your parents are those local guides. They know the ins and outs. You have somebody from foreign countries, they don't know where in the river would be the deep channels for the ships to go. You need local people, and that's what parents are. And for that, you should be thankful, and for that, you should be obeying them. But Christian children are commanded, number 5, to honor their parents as well. And you say, what's the difference? Well, obeying is just part of honoring. Honoring is the bigger picture. That's what the Apostle Paul was alluding to here. Obedience was only part of the expression of honoring parents. Honoring also refers to having the right attitude towards parents. And Christian children can further be expected to help their parents, to pray for their parents, and to show gratitude to their parents. And there are a few examples of this that I want to point out today. One was King Solomon. King Solomon was a king when Israel was the largest in its history. At that time, nobody controlled more land than King Solomon. And when his mother came into the room, King Solomon got up from his throne. If you came in, you bowed to the king. When his mother came in, he stood up to honor his mother. What an example. There's another example that is quite remarkable in more than just the superficial thing. The closest kinsman redeemer refused to honor Naomi and marry Ruth. But Boaz honored Naomi, and he married the Moabite woman, Ruth. And then Boaz had a son. His name was Obed. And Obed had a son, and his name was Jesse. And Jesse had a son. His name was David. King David. And look at what God said in Ruth chapter 4, if you have your notes. Ruth chapter 4, verse 15, together. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. So Ruth is honoring her mother-in-law. Boaz is honoring Ruth's mother-in-law. And then that son, what honor would come, because this lady, this Moabite foreigner, the ones who could not even go close to the tabernacle or temple, became one of the mothers of Jesus Christ. There's blessings, of course, and you will see that later, for honoring. On the other hand, consider some warnings to honor parents. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, together. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. You're expected to take care of your parents and your grandparents. In our modern society, we think taking care of them means dumping them in a nursing home and visiting them at Christmas and Easter. No, he's saying you take care of them much more. Now there are times when people must go into nursing homes if you can't care for them physically. But so often we just push that aside. Let them go there, we'll visit them, they're in our way. No, that's part of honoring them. So it's more than just obeying. You see, the picture is bigger. You are to honor your parents even when they're old and gray. Look at what the wise man Solomon said. Proverbs 23, verse 22, together. Listen to the father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Remember that. What lessons can we learn here? First of all, a child who doesn't honor his parents, even his worship, is unacceptable. Remember the words of Jesus there in Mark chapter 7. Let's read a few verses there to see how important it is that you have a good relationship. And I'm using this picture of if you had trouble with anyone and you tried to go to worship God. God doesn't accept that worship. From verse 11, Mark 7, together. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift of God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So the leaders were telling the people, just tell your parents, you can't give that to them. That is korban. That means that is a gift to God. And Jesus is saying, what are you telling them? You're going contrary to the word of God. It's their responsibility to take care of their parents. Don't take the money you should help your parents and give it to the church. That's stolen money then. You have to take care of your parents. Second, a child who doesn't obey his parents can expect God's severe judgment. There's that graphic picture for us again by Solomon in Proverbs 30, verse 17. Together, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That's a graphic picture of the one who does not honor his parents. Three. You don't have a choice about obeying your parents. An independent spirit of wanting to do your own thing is just plain rebellion. Rebellion is like witchcraft. That's how bad it is. It's really making yourself into God. None of you children will say that you are God. None of you grown children, you'll be 40, 50, you still can't say the same thing. But if you don't take care of your parents, if you don't honor your parents, you're acting like God. That's why. It's like witchcraft. It's going to something else to find direction instead of your God. 4. Obey and honor your parents even if they don't morally deserve it. Now remember, I said earlier, your parents take care of you when you're sick, and they clean up your nose and your vomit, and they make sure you have food to eat and clean clothes to wear, and they do all of these things for you. And for that alone, you should want to honor your parents. But the truth is, your parents aren't perfect. They sin. You know that. So why do you honor and obey your parents? The most important reason is that you love Jesus. You love Him because of what He has done for you. You should be thankful for what your parents have done. But they don't always do well. Some parents are really bad. But Jesus always loves you. He is your Lord. And therefore, you should never say to a parent, I don't care about what you do because you don't care about me. Even if your parents don't care about you, you have to care for them. Why? Because Jesus cares for you. See where it all comes back. It's not a list of morals in the Bible. It's receiving the love of God and showing it back to the world. 5. Obeying your parents does not require that you get brand name clothing or your own room or all the toys you want for Christmas or the right to go out late or to talk forever on the telephone or the wanting to do your own thing and live in the way you want. Not at all. That's not what you cannot expect, or you may never require that. Parents are the ones who are called to determine what is good for you. And they are to determine what is dangerous. You know, someone say, I can do that. And the parent says, even if you can't, I say no. Because parents determine the dangers and the level of protection that you need. And it's for you to listen to them. Parents will also tell you what you need. You know, children have this incredible ability of needing some things that they don't need at all. I just need that ice cream. Well, okay. You have to learn what needs are. And I will tell you, that's not what you need. Here's a carrot. That's what you need. Parents determine that. And children submit to that. 6. Children, though, hear this. Pay special attention. If your parents provide and for you and protect you, but they don't discipline you or guide you, it means they don't love you like they should. And you need to pray that your parents will love you like they should, and that they won't be careless about your soul. So when your parents discipline you, they scold you, they withdraw your privileges, they spank you. That's an important part of caring for your soul. If your parents don't punish you, it's a lack of care. Remember what God said in Hebrews chapter 12, the father disciplines the son or chastises the son he loves. So what happens if you don't? It's lack of love. So thank your parents. I know it doesn't always seem like that. But maybe when things are good, remember to thank your parents for loving you and disciplining you. Not just protecting you and providing for you, but also to discipline you. So let's move on to our second point now. What's the past ground? This is the law. Children are called to obey now. Obey your parents in the Lord. And that's part, of course, of honoring it. That's why we expanded that area. Why do you do it? Because that's what God commanded. This is the first commandment with promise. Children obeying and honoring their parents was grounded in the moral law, and so it cannot change with the times. A modern child obeys God's law. The fifth commandment was for old times then and for modern times. So teach your children when they say that you're old-fashioned. remind him that the law is for all times, for the past, for the present, and even for the future. The law is new fashion. The fifth commandment is still in vogue. God said so. That is the nature of God's law. In fact, this law was established at creation and codified on Mount Sinai when Moses was given the law. This was not part of the ceremonial system that was completed in Jesus Christ. What happened to children then in the past who consistently were rebellious against their parents? The Bible said they were executed for their sin, literally put to death. Let's read Deuteronomy 21, verses 18, 20, and 21 together. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, and they shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's strong language, isn't it? Now, this is not saying if a child disobeys once, that's what happens. This is speaking of a living a life of consistent, wicked life and refusing to change. Look at what the Lord said. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, together. For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." Look at the judgment, the severity. God's law doesn't change. That means someone who is disobedient today to the parents and are rebellious, they deserve what? Death. Of course, that's where you see the beauty of the gospel, where Jesus Christ took all our punishment when he died on the cross. But make no mistake about it, a rebellious child living that wicked life, refusing to change, deserves death. Lessons then can we learn, four of them. First of all, this verse proves the Old Testament moral laws have not been abolished. So keep them. All 10 of them. God's laws can never end. Paul verifies that. And so did the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Second, further, children are to obey the Lord because children understand that they were made by God and they were remade in Jesus. Again, the same point as before. You are to obey your parents because of what Jesus did for you. Jesus kept the law for them. Jesus took the punishment for their sins. So they belong to Jesus and they must obey him. And so they must obey their parents. Third, parents are to see that their children obey them. If parents don't, it is showing children that God's laws are not important. Can you imagine that? Telling your children that? Well, yeah, I told you to do that, but I'll let it go. How will they get the sense of justice? How will they get the sense of how bad sin is? So you are failing as parents if you let sins go. Your children must be raised with a sense of the law of God. And then fourth, something very important for our culture. Notice that there is no exceptions for boys to be a little worse than girls. All are to obey. Now, of course, once in a while, you have somebody who has a daughter who's more trouble than the boys might have been. But generally, in our society, we tend to give boys a little more of a break. Boys will be boys, we say. Not in God's eyes. Boys are bad, girls are bad. And you need to train them both in the law of God. Now let's move then from the fact of this is the law of God. You're commanded to honor and obey your parents. And this is grounded upon the law that cannot change. but there are blessings that are attached. It will be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. God will bless children in modern times who honor their parents, as He did long ago. Every child here likes a reward. You give a child and say, if you do this, this is what you will get. You finish this work and here's the ice cream you're going to have for dessert. Yeah! Or maybe today, shovel the snow, and kids still want ice cream after shoveling snow for some reason. Hot chocolate. Yeah, I want a reward. And God gives us rewards. He doesn't have to. We should obey Him because it's the right thing to do. But when you obey Him, there are blessings that are attached. And so there are rewards for doing good works through Jesus Christ. But what are the rewards that children would have? Well, the Bible says that children would live long in the land that God gave them. Now, some people make the error of thinking that this was referring to personal long life, as if they could live 100 years if they simply obey their parents. But the truth is, disobedient children can live a long time. And sometimes obedient children can die young. Of course, there's a sense in which if you obey your parents, generally you live longer. If you listen to your parents and you don't push wires in the electrical socket, you probably live longer than the other person. If you don't drink and drive, you probably live longer and you obey your parents and don't drink and drive. If you eat your broccoli, you probably live longer than someone who doesn't eat his broccoli. There are some similar promises in the Bible. Look at an example in Proverbs 10:27. Together, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So sometimes you obey and you live longer. Sometimes you are wicked and you die sooner. Excuse me. But the real meaning here is that the church would be more established and strengthened throughout the world. In Israel's case, they were promised that they would occupy Canaan as long as their children obeyed their parents. That's why it was noted with such strong language in Judges chapter 2 when the Bible said, "And there arose a generation that did not know the Lord, the second generation, and the Lord began to spit them out of the land, made their lives difficult, where they compromised. They made covenants with people that they should not have made covenants with. And gradually they lost the land." That's why today Jews are spread all over the earth. But in your case, what would be the promise here? The promise here is not that you will live to be 100, though that generally will be true if you obey God. But it's saying that the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be established on the earth more and more. Let me show you some applications then, 4 of them. A child's obedience to his parents brings honor to God, brings strength to the church, brings joy to the parents, and brings great rewards from heaven and in heaven. So you get rewards now, and you will surely get rewards in heaven. And there is proof of these earthly rewards. You know, I've seen a number of studies, and one of them came out recently, says that show that children who obey their parents are generally healthier than children who don't. It shouldn't surprise you. God blesses obedience. And then you don't have the stress of knowing that you violated your parents' instructions. Listen to your parents. It's for good reason. It's good for your health. It brings rewards. It brings praise. And all these other things. The joy it brings to your parents. The strength it brings to the church. Second, you must apply the promise of reward in a general way to all parents, not just your parents in home. You'll be rewarded if you obey all your other parents, like your teachers in school. They're blessings from God if you do that. Blessings if you obey your boss. Blessings if you obey your elders. Blessings if you obey the civil magistrate and the policeman. They're blessings because these are all your fathers. And obedience brings rewards. Third, while you will get a reward for obeying your parents, understand your obedience is not perfect. No child obeys perfectly. So what's the how do we fix that problem? The only way you will get a reward for obeying your parents is because God receives your obedience through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's like your good works had to pass through the blood of Christ and be purified. Because your obedience is not always perfect. Sometimes you obey because you want people to say nice things about you. You're saying, suddenly kids become very obedient around December time. Why? Because they want to get stuff. So the obedience, it's good that you're obeying, but the motive isn't always right. And yet, the Lord is pleased often to give you rewards, even though your obedience is not perfect. And there's a final one. The success of the kingdom of Jesus is dependent on your obedience to your parents. Remember, I said when I preached on husbands and wives, if a wife doesn't submit, the kingdom of God is being hindered because that's where the stress and the struggles take place. If a husband doesn't love his wife, he hinders the kingdom of God from proceeding, from expanding. Because the wife is struggling with him. And when children don't obey their parents, the parents have to be busy with the children. And what's the result? They don't do the other things that they should. They're worried about what their children are doing. They're struggling with inviting people to their homes or being involved in more church activities or spending time praying or doing other things that they should. So is this a pressure on you? Yes. God wants you to make your parents' life as easy as possible so that the kingdom of Jesus Christ can be built. And you will be willing to do that because of what Jesus Christ did for you. He loved you. And he went to the cross for you. Don't hinder the kingdom. Let's conclude. Children, younger children or older children, the message is simple. Obey your parents. The reason I mentioned the expansion of honoring, because as you get older, you don't have an obligation to obey your parents as an adult, but you still have to honor them, to care for them, to help them. And that fits into this law. But especially, of course, targeting children. Obey your parents. This is God's command from the beginning of the world, and this is his command today. It never, ever changes. It can't change. And when you obey God, and you honor your parents, there are great blessings that come, now and after. Now to you and to your family and to the church and to the kingdom and to the praise of God and even in the future, there are rewards in heaven for obedience. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and especially think of this, children, God wants you to know that you should obey and honor your parents willingly and out of love. Love for what Jesus did for you. And when you obey your parents, there will be peace in the home, prosperity in the church, and proclamation of the gospel throughout the world. And what happens when that happens? When that occurs, God will be praised. More people will be praising God. And that's why God made you. What is man's primary purpose? It's to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. If you don't want to submit to your parents, as you should, it is because you don't love God as you should. So how do we fix that problem? Let God refresh you with his love for you so you can go back to him and love him like you should. And when you love God like you should, then you will love your parents like you should. Where do you learn about God's love for you? In his word. If you're not reading the Word of God regularly, you're not going to be reassured of God's love for you. And you wouldn't care. But Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commands. Finally, you can't truly obey and honor your parents if your heart isn't right with God. For your heart to be right with God, you have to ask Him to remove that stubborn heart and count Christ's punishment on the cross as the punishment for your sins. And if you ask Him, God will do it. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us your word again, that we can reflect upon the call for children to obey their parents so they do not hinder the kingdom of God from expanding, but rather that they will obey based on the love that you have shown to them in Jesus Christ. Remind us who are older that we too will honor our parents. Lord, even if they don't love you, even if they're not kind to us, that we will show the love of Jesus Christ to them. And maybe we will win them over, for that is our prayer. Give us grace for this task, and let your Spirit work through us. Let us be known as those who have respect for those you have placed over us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.